RK101, how about doubts? Continuation, I think I already did part of that. Well, I've spoken to many religious people and have myself been a member of a religious group, pretty intensely engaged in that. And I know that when you ask such people belonging to religions, if they really are sure about all that, that God exists and that so-and-so is the representative anointed one of God, and that all these other worlds exist, heaven and hell and all that, and that we are actually souls who are eternal, then they will generally answer, or whatever variations of those they subscribe to, but yes, of course, that's the truth. Why? Well, because it's in the holy book, and it is taught by the holy teachers, and by the chosen one, or whoever, something like that, right? And they are absolutely sure, but then a reality which I know by experience is there behind that screen, backstage, is that, well, there are many things I don't understand here, but I decide to put my faith in this. And that's what we do sometimes, we humans, isn't it? You just put a faith in someone or in something. And today many, they say, we believe in science. I trust science. I believe science. Well, sometimes when such statements are made very emphatically and strongly, they may, as we know, rather reveal doubts or but I don't want to think about it. So then you shove your doubts down into the basement. And as the year go by, and as the years go by, and you live in that specific religious environment, in a group or in a society that share, or it doesn't even have to be religious. We can be speaking about political truths or whatever, scientific truths. And Now you live in that society, and all your friends and family members and so on, they, and the people you respect above there, the elderly and the wise ones, they agree on that specific truth, just like you do, and you agree with each other, and it's just established there as the cosmos you live in, the reality you live in. Or one tries to do it, but then maybe if you go deeper down into the subliminal levels of mind, there may be doubts both here and there. But no, you're not allowed to have that. And if someone dares to or happens to express such doubts, then, well, that is not a healthy sign. Now, I don't know if you have experienced that, such a situation. But I remember I was one of those preachers, as we were called. And my job was to make devotees, which I don't think I ever did successfully. Rather, some may become devotees in spite of me. But that's not the point. That's the expression that was used, making devotees. So I picked that one up also, although I felt uneasy in that role of just making members of a society, of an organization, of like that, of a group, where they then would. Well, because we're talking about very deep and powerful things here. We rather than join that group and are taught by pretty strongly to surrender, give our lives to that leader and that group. Everything you own, your body, your mind, your very soul, your intelligence. And, well, I tell you, that's the point it came to for me. Where I was told that the intelligence of my spiritual master, my guru, is much superior to my own intelligence. So I should just give up my own intelligence and accept the intelligence of the spiritual master. Which I did, but with that understanding, which was included at that time, I remember talking about early 1980s, that this is actually God who provides intelligence, and when I can somehow or other listen to Super Soul there, then that is so much more superior than the intelligence driven by me and my own desires and plans and so on. So anyway, we're talking about very powerful things going on in our lives and minds and hearts and intellects and souls. So how about if you have that doubt hidden there somewhere deep down? Maybe there is no God anyway. Well, the ones we made into devotees, quote unquote, were mainly those who didn't have doubts, who didn't express them, who just easily bought the whole package, so to speak, not needing intellectual, philosophical proof or things like that. But, you know, the food is good and people are nice here. And yes, this chanting and bhajans and kirtan, great. And then it's fun to serve Krishna together. And of course, you can go that way. You don't have to be a philosopher. When you do bhakti yoga devotional service wholeheartedly and sincerely, then Krishna will enlighten you from within. And I have several friends who are examples of that. But we needed to recruit members. And therefore, sometimes our preaching, some of us had learned it from, I guess, different cults and whatever religious groups or with political people, or how you can make someone join, make them lose faith in themselves and the society around them, which is anyway such a mess. And just join here, and we got nice food and we got nice everything, so why anyway your life is just meaningless? You're some dropout living in some shabby apartment in some big city. So that's the way. And of course, if you study cults, you find they have techniques, basically, for how to make people join. And some of us learned, as I said, those a bit. So what happened when I joined, and I don't want to insult anyone here, but when I joined, and earlier, most of those who came to Prabhupada were philosophical minded. They were interested in knowledge. They were university students and so on. But then the university students didn't come anymore very much. And in hindsight, I can understand that, because most of us who were speaking this philosophy, putting ourselves on seats a little higher than them, although we were young and visibly inexperienced neophytes ourselves, we took the position as if we knew it all. And thus, in the eyes of many actual intellectuals, made complete fools out of ourselves. So, but you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we then kind of developed a certain appreciation for those simple devotees who had faith. And I heard it expressed sometimes that kind of disdain for intellectuals. They ask these speculative questions and tricky questions, and they express doubts and they ask difficult questions. So the movement became well, not very enriched with people from the academic intellectual world. But then we have, of course, we need Brahmanas, or Divarnas, we need to follow Varnashram. So you are Brahmana, you are Brahmana, well, maybe I'm Brahmana too. And then, wow, you gotta act like one. So then, again, we had then people sitting on positions as intellectual, spiritual leaders. But then those who were actual intellectuals could see that they were more of figureheads than actual, you know, they were pretending, thinking themselves to be very smart, because they are Brahmanas, of course. So I would dare to say that a certain intellectual drainage happened. And I'm talking my early years in the Krishna Consciousness Movement, early 80s. That's where it started, the way I noticed, mid-80s. So, and again, if you have leaders, those in leading positions, whether they may be managerial leadership positions or intellectual, who are not up to it, who are not qualified, then, of course, it's difficult to train up new qualified leaders, because then those present people in leadership position would be the ones claiming the rights to train them up. So you kind of perpetuate certain traditions. So why am I saying all this? Well, it's about this doubt thing. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his Krishna Samhita, I think it is. Yeah, he begins there by talking about these different classes of devotees. The beginners. Kanishta Adhikaris, and the next level Madhyama Adhikaris. But he describes them in this way, that the beginners, these neophytes, they don't know much, but they have that faith. They take it on faith. And he's of course talking about many religious people in general. Oh, I don't read these books. I don't understand so much about it, but it feels good, and it's my tradition, and whatever. My wife or husband did it. Pulled me into this. But it says that they can have strong faith, but that faith can also easily be broken. They can easily believe, maybe to believe in something, but easily broken. But they are easier to deal with because they will quickly accept something and then serve you, if that's what you want. But he says that then you have those intellectuals that you find in the academic world and so on. They will express doubts and ask difficult questions. But when they get their doubts settled and removed by actually getting their questions answered, then their faith will become very strong and unbreakable. So when I read this, I thought, wow, I read this in the 90s, something that, yes, he's got a point there, and we did the opposite, basically. If someone was asking those questions and expressing those doubts in lectures, we used to just sometimes ridicule them and make everyone go against them, and they never came back again. Because when you can't handle someone intellectually, and you need to quiet them up in some other way, making everyone laugh at them or something, making them embarrassed and they walk. And this way you protect the congregation from these doubters who are here to poison you with, you know, and all that. And in this way the group becomes an echo chamber, becomes very isolated, a bubble, a world inside the world, where good things, but also bad things, easily become very built into the very cosmos of that world. So, Bhaktivinoda, he turned to the intellectuals. He sent his writings to the universities. Prabhupada wanted his disciples also to start at the university level, go to the top intellectuals in society and get them to accept this. It's not easy. You have to know what you're talking about. You have to take a humble position, not come in as a top super duper brahmana, but even above the professors. Although you're in your 20s or something, which we did. And I've spoken to friends of mine who are in that world now, in the academic world, who are devotees, who agree there, and I appreciate their job. That yes, that's where this Krishna consciousness is, should be introduced, this bhakti. Vaishnava teachings. So what I want to say with this is that we have our doubts, and they are rather a healthy symptom. And there, we can talk next about that. There can be two basic categories of doubts: those of the philosophy or the understanding, the worldview, and those in that of the group and organization, and they are different. And if you find yourself there, that the teachings of the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita and so on, appear very connected to and integrated with a group, an organization, social, some kind of society. But you find that that society does not really, well, seem to understand the teachings, or at least not implement them or follow them, and the leaders are corrupt or whatever. I mean, we find this in groups. Let's not kid ourselves. It's that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with the teachings, but that's how we humans are. We have frailties. We sometimes get carried away and led astray. So if you don't find a group, although you may have several, each one saying that they are the only true way, then wait with that. Rather, just hang out with devotees, Vaishnava, wise people that you feel comfortable with, that you can agree with, that you can relate to. But then what's most important is, well, we got it there, the Shraddha, Tata, Sadhu, Sangha, Bhajana, Krita. Got his faith there in the beginning. And then you of course associate with those who live according to that which you also decided to try and live according to. And then you do your bhajan, your kriya, your service, your devotional activities or bhakti yoga. And by doing that, you will become convinced. Studying these beautiful scriptures. And when you have questions, when you have doubts, you go to someone who you believe could answer them and ask. And you can continue until you are satisfied and you are convinced. And well, that's a bit why I am at the end of every podcast here pointing down there to the comment field, saying we can... You got the word down there. You can ask, doubt, argue, question anything. And I will answer. And if you sign up on Bhaktas in Sweden Discord server, I will be there. An afternoon, evening, once a week or so. And we can help each other churning this, dealing with this. Anartha Nivritti. Well, doubts are also unwanted. And then Nishta, complete conviction, not just in the intellect and mind, but seeing the world, the cosmos, the existence here clearly, at least more clear, and living in it as it makes sense. And that's where real life starts. So here we are at your service. Thank you, Hare Krishna.